citizens, welcome to the Forks of Potitude. I'm Dave Michaels.
And I'm Brian Betts.
And this is Beer Me a Movie. It's the show where me and Brian try our best not to eat each other while throwing movies back and forth to each other each week. Movies we want to talk to. Movies that you hopefully want to hear people talk about. No, this is us, buddy. This is for me and you.
Especially this month, because it is musical month all April long. And, whoo boy, I'm already having some fun.
I am too, man. And if you look at the listens, I could tell you that people are not sluts for musicals.
Maybe they're just not sluts for Trey Parker.
That could be the case, because we have made a weird niche here by doing South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut last week. And this week, you, Bry Guy, you beard us, Cannibal, the musical from 1993, directed by, written by, starring, produced, all the things, Trey fucking Parker again.
Trey Parker, back to back. That's how we're doing it this time.
Oh, just to go back, we give everything an arbitrary score. It's a very scientific system. If our score lines up with either the critical score or the audience score on Rotten Tomatoes or the average of both of those, then we got a drink. And so far, man, we play with fire here.
Yeah, we've been getting really close and then sometimes just super far away. Like last week, we weren't super close. And who knows this week? I don't even know where this might land on the Rotten Tomatoes.
I have no idea, but how about we find out the hard way?
Let's do it. Dive right in with our first category, which is casting. It's Trey Parker.
It is Trey Parker. It's Matt Stone. It's Dean Backer. He's Squeak basketball. He's in this thing. And then it's just a lot of other people.
Just a bunch of like college friends, it seems like.
That's all it is. We should say Toddy Walter. She's the girl in this.
The girl.
Now I think we have all the consequential characters covered.
Oh, and Leanne, the horse, who's played by like 15 different horses. And you can tell because none of them look the same.
Man, in college, I wouldn't even know where to rent a horse. So good on them. They could get as many different colored horses as they want.
That's true. I wouldn't even know where to start with a horse.
I went to Hofstra, so there are plenty of horse. That's got to be close to the same thing, right?
I was in South Jersey, so same.
I feel like Long Island is just the South Jersey of New York.
Yeah. So what are we giving this thing for casting?
I don't know. It's really hard to get college friends to do movies, speaking from experience. I'm going to give this thing a 7. This thing's kind of a miracle that it happened.
Agreed. The fact that this thing has seen the light of day at all is a miracle, and the fact that it got fully produced and has a full cast, 7. Why not?
All these actors worked for what every single college filmmaker pays their friends. Just meals. That's it.
You might get a couple beers here and there.
But man, you got to be a good friend to get these people to come out into the middle of the woods of Colorado with you to shoot this thing.
Yeah, he even got some professors to come out, which is impressive.
That is impressive, even though one of his professors, the Colorado Dean of Film Studies or whatever it was, he was going to try to finance this movie. And then he read a book on financing, which as a dean, probably should have known that.
Yeah, that seems like step one was to read the book before financing or teaching about it.
And then he pulled out.
That makes sense.
So this movie was also kind of made without any faculty help, let's say.
That's wild.
I feel like we're going to be talking a lot about like student film stuff, because that's what this movie is.
That's exactly what this movie is, and I think that's where we're going to live a lot in this episode.
I'm very okay with that. I get to live some glory days. Not glory hole days.
Okay.
Just very, check. Very. I know what I said.
You saw the look in my eyes.
Being dirty and everything and where I went to school, but no, I was a good boy.
Glory hole days.
I heard you guys talking about South Jersey. Let me tell you about a time where I was down at the Stone Pony and I stuck my dick into a wall.
That's right. I'm talking about the famous Asbury Park glory hole.
My dad, he wanted me to be a lawyer. And I said, Dad, why don't you come on down to the Stone Pony and watch me stick my dick in a wall?
And then I wrote a song about it. And it goes like this.
And then my ma, she wanted me to be a doctor. So do you know what I told her?
Why don't you come on down to the Stone Pony
and watch me put my dick in a wall?
Glory days!
I bet he made Thunder Road all over whoever was on the other side. I don't know. And you want to know what sound he made while he was doing it? He put his vinegar strokes into that song.
He sure did. He's, I'm on fire.
That's probably because he visited Hofstra, Long Island, and his dick got all dirty.
Either there or the streets of Philadelphia.
Certainly wasn't the wall. Oh, did I spend some time in that wall? I don't know where he gets the drawl from.
You know, as like Jersey's poster child, I don't know where it comes from either.
It makes no
sense. It doesn't make sense.
Oh, it's so sing-songy, though. It's appropriate.
Not a known part of the Jersey accent.
Story motivation. Let's do the thing. We should probably do the thing.
You're right. Let's do the thing. Alfred Packer gruesomely beats, murders, and devours five men in the snowy mountains of Colorado. At least, that's what this prosecutor would have you believe.
It's a story he tells. And Alfred Packer's like, oh, Trey Parker faces.
The Trey Parkerist of faces.
He is owning it right now. He is forming who he is going to become.
Everything in this movie is just a setup to what his legacy will be. And it starts with that stupid face with that terrible fake mustache and goatee.
It's so good. It's so good.
Curious about his side of the story, reporter Polly Pry visits Packer in jail while he awaits the court's verdict.
She gets this info out of him pretty easily.
Yeah. She walks in and he's sitting there. He's like, I don't want to talk to reporters. She's like, well, I heard I was supposed to ask you about Leanne. He's like, all right, I'll tell you everything.
This guy loves his horse.
Leanne is a horse, of course. Despite his insistence that he's not a good guide, Packer is selected to guide a group of miners on an expedition from Bingham County, Utah to Breckenridge, Colorado territory in search of gold.
I like how he said that he's been to Colorado territory, and that was enough to qualify him to be the leader. You really have to watch what you say.
The old leader got struck by lightning, so what are you going to do? This guy's been there. Point. He's the new guide.
I love how they say he gets struck by lightning. You're like, okay, that seems like a kind of funny bit. And then they show a guy who had been struck by lightning being carried through.
The crispy guy just gets brought through frame. It's beautiful.
Oh, that's where the money went. Not so much later things that happen with dead folk. It's right here, and it's all on the screen.
The party consists of Shannon Bell, an aspiring Mormon priest, James Humphrey, who has been forced by his father to join the party, Frank Miller, the cynical butcher, George Noon, a horny teenager, and Israel Swan, who's just like a happy guy.
That's it. That's the group. That's our friends. And they are acting.
Oh, big time.
Especially the Israel Swan guy.
Israel Swan is having an absolute blast.
He got invited out with the guys, hanging out in the woods, making movies. How could he not be having a blast?
Yeah, he's smiling and dancing and having the time of his life. While stopping in Provo for supplies, the group run into a trio of trappers led by Frenchie Cabazon. They bully Alfred and take an interest in Leanne.
I like how they plant the seed of this weird love triangle with a horse.
Well, there's a story behind the horse.
Of course.
Of course.
She's a trapper horse.
She's a trapper horse. Leanne, of course, famously the former fiance of Trey Parker, who cheated on him like a few weeks before their wedding. So he named a horse after her in a movie.
It's pretty amazing that his Leanne cheated on him, and that's how we got South Park.
Both Leanne the horse and Leanne Cartman from South Park, horses.
Horses.
Famous Leanne horses of Trey Parker's career.
The man holds a grudge. Let's call it what it is. The man holds a grudge, I think.
He sure does. The group begin their journey, excited about the life that awaits them in Breckenridge. But they wake one morning. Leanne is missing with much of their supplies.
Let me tell you about a show that I played in Breckenridge. It was fine. Now let me tell you about a wall that I found in Breckenridge. So my ma and my pa, they wanted me to be a farmer. But I told them, ma and pa, I can't. I'm in Breckenridge. And there's a wall. So I told them to come watch me stick my dick in a wall.
I think my favorite part about this is that Alfred Packer, I did a little reading up on the real Alfred Packer from Philadelphia, or from Pennsylvania. So we could just say Philly, right?
We might as well. Eating people's the most Philly thing you could do.
It's even better if they're dressed up like Santa Claus.
Brotherly love, man. Brotherly love.
The party continues on their way, facing bear traps, raging rivers, and a tribe of Japanese Indians. They stay with the Indians until they discover the trappers are also there.
What a bit. How they have these Indians, but they're played by Japanese people, and they're speaking Japanese. And they go out of their way to say, you see that? That's a teepee. You know why? Because we're Indians.
Because we're Indians. And all the teepees are made from Japanese flags.
Phenomenal.
So good. Apparently, it's just the chief is played by the owner of a local sushi shop, and the other two Japanese people are just exchange students.
I would go to that local sushi shop and eat the shit out of that man's sushi.
He was also in basketball, I think.
That's how you do a joke on a $125,000 budget.
That is. After a confrontation with the trappers about music theory, both parties leave the Indian encampment despite warnings of an impending storm.
The storm that never comes.
It really doesn't.
They constantly say there's about to be a storm. The trappers are there. Our band of misfits are there. There's no storm. There's no storm ever. They could have left pretty easily.
Well, they did leave and then got lost for a while. And then a storm did come, but it was like weeks later.
They didn't get lost.
They followed the river.
They were looking for Leanne.
That's some people's theory, is that Alfred the whole time was leading the group just on a search for Leanne.
Couldn't find Leanne? Couldn't find any walls? What are we to do in this world? In this Colorado territory?
Leanne was his friend. A friend wouldn't just leave for no reason.
I like how he grew up with this horse, and we see little Trey Parker sitting on this horse, the little child actor there. And at no point did this horse say that it was a trapper horse to him, and that's weird.
That is weird. The horse just up and left, and without warning. It's a very strange thing for a horse to do.
Rude-ass fucking horse. Or as I call him, future glue.
Meanwhile, in the present, Packer is found guilty by the court and sentenced to hanging by Judge Jerry, who's played by Randy Parker, Trey Parker's father, who does an awesome little dance after he sentences his son to death.
He's so happy about it. I love it.
Polly, who's grown quite fond of Packer, visits him again so she can find out more about his side of the story.
There's this whole thing of, is she being sincere about wanting to know about Packer's story and trying to get him off the hook? Or is she just being a journalist?
Really don't know until she sings a love song about him.
She sings a long love song about him.
Very long. So long that somebody comes down the stairs she's singing next to, stares at her for a long time, and then continues on about his day.
It's a Seth MacFarlane size pause.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, why don't just hit me?
What?
This is a musical.
It sure is. There's been music this whole time.
The entire time.
Silly dances.
Great songs about spadoinkle days, using a place word and just saying, fuck it.
Fuck it. Why not? I love it. Let's not change it. It's a spadoinkle day.
They use the word spadoinkle a lot in this movie, and I love it, and I'm not sure exactly what it means.
It fills my heart like a baked potato.
There's the baked potato again.
Naturally, the group gets lost, comes across a cyclops. They eat their shoes, tensions rise, and eventually Swan sings about building snowmen one too many times, so Bell shoots and kills him.
As you should.
Out of desperation and hunger, the group resorts to cannibalism, eating the deceased Israel Swan.
I like how there's a worry if they should do it or not do it.
I love that they bring up the Donner Party like, well, you know, those guys did it. And he's here. He's already dead. It's not like we're doing anything bad to him.
And you got a butcher in your crew already. He's going to know where all the good cuts are.
Except he goes right for the butt.
Do you not go for the butt right away?
These guys didn't want him to go for the butt right away.
Where would you start if you were cutting up your friend to eat?
Now, that's an interesting question that I don't know if I feel comfortable answering. Probably like this area, right in the chest region.
You're just going to start right away on those pecs.
Listen, chicken breasts, right? Everybody loves the breast meat.
I mean, I guess that's true. And now that we're on the topic of eating people, let me ask you a question from Facebook.
Good segue.
Because Dave Novak, he wants to know, if you had to eat one former president of the United States, who would it be? He said he'd pick Taft. Obviously, it's a very good one.
That's so funny, because that's the first name that came into my head as you asked the question, and I don't know why.
A lot of meat.
It's fair.
It's a meaty boy. I'd probably go Grover Cleveland.
Okay.
Another meat boy.
More bang for your buck.
I feel like you sort of have to. You don't want to go with someone like an Abe Lincoln. He's like too much Jack Skellington, and that's just, there's nothing there.
That'd be really sinewy and gamey.
When he kicked the bucket on that bed after getting shot, they buried him right away because they realized There's no meat on this boy.
This meat's what's not the point? Good for eating. We just got to bury this guy.
McKinley, though,
you don't hear too much about him.
He got killed in office, too, but you know that his friends ate him because I don't even know where his grave is. Kennedy's got a famous grave. You know he's in there. Lincoln's got a famous grave. You know he's in there. McKinley, where you at, bro?
Now, the question, could you just ask the question? I need the phrasing again.
If you had to eat one former president of the United States,
yeah,
who would it be?
I feel like I would want somebody a little more fresh than that. Just to, you know, make sure I'm not getting any kind of weird diseases. They've been in the ground a while. And it has the added benefit. I mean, if we're going for more meat, we also get to just take him out. So I'd probably go for a nice Trump meat sandwich.
Hi, FBI. Welcome to the show. It's so great to have you.
Listen, anything I could do to avoid a dark meat joke.
Still not a political podcast.
Yeah.
This is a cooking show, briefly.
We're just talking about who the most delicious. Oh, you know what? The diet on that man would not make for good eating.
No, but you'd get a pretty good price on it because he lied about his weight. He said that he was lighter than he actually is. So just think about that. Even though he's the type of guy who would absolutely put his thumb on the scale.
Pound for pound, you are getting more for your dollar there.
Hello, Patriots. For $20,000, you could take a bite out of these meaty clackers that I have here. Trump clackers, greatest clackers in the world. They're very meaty. Come and take a bite. $20,000. Please, somebody suck on my nuts. $20,000. I need the money.
Listen, we've installed a new hole in the wall at Mar-a-Lago where you can come down and get yourself a $5 foot-long Trump meat sandwich.
Can we ask any follow-up questions about that hole in the wall that you have there? And are my parents invited?
No, you may not ask any further questions. It's kind of part of the deal with the hole in the wall. And yes, you can bring your parents.
That's good, because my parents, they wanted me to be president. And I said, Mom, Pa, come watch me rock and roll. And then after the show, you can watch me put my dick in a wall.
So further along their journey, the group starts to become hungry again. They start talking about eating another party member.
Is this while they're lugging around the papier-mâché swan man? He looks awful.
Yes. Yes, they are.
They didn't even try with this prop, and that's the best part about it.
Packer separates from the group on a scouting trip to look for a path to civilization. But when he returns, Bell has murdered the entire party.
He said if he didn't do it, they were going to get him. I get it. We've all been in that situation.
And then he turns on Packer. So Packer repeatedly cleavers Bell in the face and then must eat all the other men in order to survive the winter.
Yeah. I mean, it's there. It's cold. You might as well.
It's better than hunting, right? You already have this fresh meat.
Oh, yeah. Snap into literal Slim Jim.
Oh, no, not Jim. Not Matt Stone as James Humphrey.
It'll give him something to do in this movie. Might as well.
Other than just make stupid faces.
That's what he does best, though.
It is. Packer makes it to Sawash, where he discovers Frenchie and the trappers have indeed stolen Leanne.
It makes me wonder where Leanne was hiding the entire time in the Indian village place.
Yeah, where were they keeping her?
That would have been a good visual gag if they could have figured it out.
Just hide her behind a tree? Yeah.
Tiny-ass teepees that they had.
Just a horse head popping out and peeking out. Yeah. When the drunken sheriff tries to arrest Packer for the murder of his traveling partners, a brawl breaks out. Packer puts a 20-hit combo on Frenchie's prenus and flees to Wyoming. But Wyoming sucks, so he gets arrested instead.
What a great slam that I didn't know anyone needed.
Right? It was so good.
It's just a shot of him just out in a field, and he's so bored. Very briefly. Wonderful. Get fucked, Wyoming.
In the present, it's time for Packer's execution, and the whole town turns out. Apparently, this song and nut and dance was choreographed by the Leanne. So there you go.
Did they reconcile?
No, they absolutely did not. He just kind of wanted to show off to her that he was producing a big movie, and MTV happened to be on set that day to do like a behind-the-scenes thing.
What kind of student film is this that happens?
I have no idea. I don't understand how any of this works.
I have no clue. This is wild to me. And the way this thing got distributed, we'll get there. Jesus Christ, how is this movie possible?
Just before he's hanged, Polly shows up with Leanne and a stay of execution from the governor. Packer can't be held accountable for the events that took place before Colorado was a state.
We should say, based on a true story, all of this.
Almost everything in this movie, except for the horse, is real.
So, Alfred Packer did get off this way.
He absolutely did. And it was because of the investigative reporting of Polly Pry, who I don't think he actually made out with in real life. The town wants blood. Frenchie jumps up on the gallows and pulls the lever to hang Packer. Luckily, the Japanese Indian chief cuts Packer down with a katana and proceeds to decapitate Frenchie.
It's so good.
The crowd loves it. They're like, this is what we came for. We'll take it. Packer realizes he no longer needs Leanne and embraces Polly, and they do the kiss. The chief chases down Leanne with his katana, and then a hatchet-faced bell returns.
And that's the movie, Cannibal the Musical. There's cannibals, there's music. What more can you ask for? He turned some sort of true story into this. What?
I don't know how he did it, but he did. He somehow took this tale that lots of people who grow up in Colorado know about, and not a lot of other people do. He made it into a story about how his horse left him.
That's creativity, if I've ever heard it, because I feel like this is like me trying to explain jug handles to somebody who didn't grow up in New Jersey.
Jug handles. It sounds like it's something attached to a jug.
My mom and dad, they wanted me to be a jug handle when I got older. And I said, Mom, Pa.
Story motivation. I'm going with a 6. Why not?
A 6. Okay. I actually have a quote from Trey Parker where he said, we didn't know a lot about filmmaking, and we didn't know that you don't start a film with a boring conversation. He mentions that, as they've learned with South Park, story isn't really important.
No, it really isn't. There's only so many plots in the world. It's really all about the characters when you break it all down.
Yeah, and this is a crazy man who may or may not have eaten a lot of people, and 6. I like 6.
If he did, he got away with it, and he didn't go hungry. Fine.
Exactly.
Whatever you gotta do. Life's hard.
Protagonist, Alfred Packer.
Terrible guide, terrible survival instincts, loves a horse way too much.
The real Packer, at different points of his life, signed his name as both Alfred and Alfred, and it's not known why he used the incorrect spelling, but it's suspected that he went along with a tattoo artist's mistake on his arm.
No regrets, I get it.
No regrets.
I'm gonna go with a 4.
A 4?
Feels dirty in a that seems too high way.
A lot of things happen to him in this movie, but at the end of the day, he does have that growth where he doesn't need his horse anymore. He moves on from losing his horse.
All right, 5. Happy?
5. Yeah, that I am.
I still have no idea what it is, but now I feel like we're just trending too high after 2 categories. So,
oh, bold.
Confidence.
I like it. Antagonist. Is it the law, the courts, the trappers, Leanne? I don't know.
I have no idea. It just could be the West, but it's very unclear. 2? Fine.
I think
great.
That's the best we can do for this one. Director, keeping in mind this is a student film, but it's also Trey fucking Parker.
This is a ridiculously impressive student film.
Yeah.
He wrote it. He directed it. He starred in it. I cannot fathom how this thing got made. And I've read a couple things with the producers talking about how they made this. They raised the money on their own. They put it all on the screen. They were lucky enough to have the Colorado Film Department at their disposal, so they really didn't have to pay for equipment. So that's good.
That's nice, yeah.
But the absolute maelstrom that you have to keep in your head as a director, a college student shouldn't be able to do that
right.
To this extent. This is really, really, really hard to pull off. And the fact that we're still talking about it 30
that
years
says a
on,
lot. Yeah,
that's incredible. He brought this thing out to festivals. A lot of people saw it. He got an offer from Troma. It was a garbage offer, but it's an offer nonetheless.
But it's an offer from Uncle Lloyd. And how do you say no to that?
Easy. They said no, then brought it to other people and they said no. And he said, Uncle Lloyd, I need you.
I've changed my mind. Lloyd Kaufman did want him to change the name from Alfred Packer the Musical to Cannibal the Musical because nobody outside of Colorado really knows it. And then they really only distribute it within Colorado.
You might as well. They know it.
Yeah.
I'm going with a 9. And it's strictly for the fact that he made this thing.
Absolutely.
This is a labor of love right here. He deserved everything he got after doing this.
Yeah, I think his actual project for school was only like a 4-minute trailer treatment kind of for it.
That's pretty typical, though. If you're shooting a trailer as like a class thing, because you don't want to shoot the whole movie, but you still want to be able to tell the story.
Exactly. And then they were like, we love this, let's make it. So, 9 for director. Let's talk about style and tone.
For style and tone, it doesn't feel like a student film.
No, it doesn't. I'm impressed with things like the courtroom scenes were actually shot in the actual courtroom where Alfred Packer was tried. Like, the whole cast and crew during their spring break went to actual locations where Packer had been, and they shot there, which is crazy. And then, of course, Trey was like, we didn't really need to do that because nobody knows anyway, but it was pretty cool.
But they know, and that's important. That's so cool that he was able to do this. When you watch this movie back, now obviously he's sitting on half a bill to relax on and watch this thing back, he could be like, yeah, I pulled off the Alfred Packard courtroom when I was in college.
Exactly. And yeah, the sound was terrible in there, but it, damn it, that's accurate to history.
No, that room would have been a fucking nightmare to film in.
Absolutely.
Sound-wise, mostly.
I think most of the films I did in college were silent, so that checks out.
They made it like avant-garde and called it like slut. And you're like, whoa, that is so edgy. You are edgy,
wow.
Son. The movie looks good. It's shot really, really well. You can tell the costumes are a bit janky. You can tell a lot of the props don't really work, but they lean into it by making it a joke of, haha, look how much money we don't have, which is a weird flex.
Yeah, there's like a scene where Dean Baker is talking to somebody at the Indian reservation and then jingles his keys in his pocket.
I'm going to go with a 7.
Yeah.
Which is high. It's high,
but damn it, I like it.
Damn it, I like it.
Screenplay.
The brilliance of the spadoinkle should be enough.
The spadoinkle alone gets this thing big numbers.
He threw the word in because he couldn't think of a word and then said, again, fuck it, I love it. Leave it.
The courtroom dialogue is based on actual transcripts, and there's actually a newspaper report from the time that says an old lady threw a tomato at Packer.
And I love how you have Trey Parker. Even when he was in college, he had that cadence that you know and that you love of his jokes. Some people are just supposed to make it.
There's some people that you can tell early on, oh, they have talent and they are going places. Even when they actively seem like sometimes they're not trying to.
It's kind of like on the old gridiron. Whenever you see a guy who looks like he's running slow and they're like, looks that way because he's running super fast. And you're like, Tony Romo, what the fuck does that mean? But you're right.
You know how sometimes when a tire spins so fast that it looks like it's going the other way? I don't know why I went McConaughey on that, but I did. I don't regret it.
You know how sometimes when you're in a bathroom and somebody sticks their dick in a wall? Nah, I got nothing. I just like sticking my dick in a wall.
I thought we were finally getting the reverse end of the bit where somebody sticks their dick in a wall to Bruce. He's on the other end of the glory days.
He stuck his dick in a wall, $20,000. He made mean streets all over me.
Next thing I knew, I was dancing in the dark, waiting on a sunny day.
And just like my wife, Melania, thank God we're all born in the USA.
What can I say? I have a hungry heart.
I don't think I like this political humor.
Some people were just born to run for president.
And some people were born to put their dick in a wall.
So screenplay.
Yeah, it's fine. 4?
4?
Nothing terribly special. That should be enough.
Baked potatoes, spadoinkle.
Sure. All that equals a 4.
That brings us to music.
It's good.
It is good.
Despite the organ that plays every note that somebody sings, it's good.
Listen, these aren't professional singers. They just love musicals.
And did you catch all the little light motifs that he throws in later in his career? They're there. Blame Canada is fully in this movie.
Absolutely are. It's a lot of parody of Oklahoma. But
a lot of it is.
Of Oklahoma parody. But it's good. Damn it, it's good.
It is good. Let me ask you a question here, because Phil Hot Take Hawkins wants to know, if you could build a snowman, would you build it tall or would you build it not so tall? What a line.
It's so good. I would definitely build it with an alien head.
Why?
Because they cut at one point, there's a quick cut of the snowman having an alien head because they hid aliens throughout this movie for some reason.
I've seen this movie probably a handful of times now. Never noticed any of this.
Yeah, it's a lot of blink and you miss it type stuff. But yeah, there's a snowman with an alien head.
All right. The music's great. It's really impressive that a college student could make this and make it a musical. And
yeah,
five down the middle.
Five. I was going to say higher, but that's good.
Where are you thinking?
I was going to go seven.
Six it is.
Six it is. And I'm comfortable with that. Brings us to box office. This movie cost $125,000 to make and didn't make anything as far as I know.
No, we have no idea. This thing got rented probably a ton.
Probably. Who knows if it ever made money, though? We have no way of knowing.
There's no way of knowing. And, oh, Jesus, I just looked at the Rotten Tomatoes, and I'm going to drink a little bit more of this beer.
Just to be safe.
Just to get that a little bit lower.
I never know what to put for box office when we don't know how it did.
Let's call it a five.
For a break even, we usually do a three.
Oh, then you'd know exactly what to put.
But I don't know if this broke even or not.
If we don't know, we put a three, I guess.
All right, three.
It's so scientific that me and Brian have to argue about very simple things.
That we've done hundreds of times at this point. The final category is impact on the industry.
Enormous.
It's fucking huge.
Through the fucking roof.
It's actually unnecessarily large, this movie's impact.
It created one of the largest cultural things, hard stop, of the past 25 years.
Yeah, as hard as they try to put a stop to it.
It's got to be a 10.
It's a 10 for sure. And that is going to give Cannibal the Musical.
I'm so scared right now.
A total score of 59.
We are dangerously close. We are safe. The Rotten Tomatoes score on this thing only has 19 reviews. It's 63%. That's fresh, baby.
That is fresh.
The audience score is 82%. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
We're not pounding, buddy, but God damn it, that was a little too close.
That was pretty close. Luckily, we came right under.
Did I hear somebody talking about Come Again?
No, Bruce, go back to your wall.
Brian, fantastic pick. Back-to-back Trey Parker, Matt Stone joints.
Yeah, I'm just sad that he's out of movies for us to talk about.
I'm not. I'm ready to move on. And next week is my second pick, and I've been worrying about this thing because it's not just my second pick.
That's right. It's a special pick.
It's my birthday pick.
Ooh.
If you guys know the history of me, I gift you movies for my birthday. Brian, the complete opposite.
No, I'm very selfish.
I care about all of you. I want to make sure that you are all going to have a good time listening to whatever I gift you, whatever gold I pass along to you.
All right.
Let me tell you some movies that I didn't pick because this month was way too short.
I agree.
The first movie that I wanted to do in this month, this all musicals month, was the movie Once from 2007. I think it's one of the most brilliant modern musicals. It won the Oscar for Best Original Song. It's phenomenal. It went on to Broadway, cleaned up there too. It's brilliant. But that's not what we're talking about.
That'd be a solid pick.
Something else we're not talking about is another movie that I really, really badly wanted to talk about. We may still do it in the future, but we can't do it because it was done before 1980. No one's going to listen to that thing, man. We've learned.
We know you guys.
I really wanted to talk about Richard Lester's Superman 2. Him, same guy.
Oh, yeah.
1964 is A Hard Day's Night.
Oh, that would be fun, too.
It would be fun, but that's not what we're talking about.
Oh, the anticipation.
We're also not going to talk about the other Beatles musical, kind of. 2007's Across the Universe. Because that's also what I wanted to talk about, because the production of that is fascinating.
Thought you were going to say Yesterday.
Absolutely fucking not. I saw that thing on a plane, made me wish that plane was a Boeing, so I know it would go down.
Yeah, I knew how you felt about that movie.
Not great. That thing had so much promise, too, but it just is a giant duke. I did not care for it. I don't call movies dukes often.
You don't. That's rare.
Instead, what we are going to be talking about is a movie that is long, long, long overdue.
Ooh.
Because next week, for my birthday, in our all musical month, hi-ho, it's the Muppet Movie! Yay!
Yes! Yes. That's such a good pick.
I can't tell you how excited I'm going to be. We're going to have Kermit here in the studio with Ray Romano, Believe it or not, we got them both. They're both locked down.
Oh, Deborah!
Do it for the kids, Deborah.
The kids, Deborah.
Next week, happy birthday to me, the Muppet Movie.
Very excited. Until then, thank you for listening. Be sure to rate, review, subscribe. Send us your movie suggestions for this month's listener pick. We want you to send us musicals, and we've gotten quite a few already. And I will say that over half of the picks so far are for the same movie.
It's Cats. Derek Ives, you're a goddamn monster. And I love you, but you're a monster.
You've done a thing, and I don't know if I should be impressed or if I should be very upset with you.
I think the most annoying part is that Dave Novak will be on that episode. You've heard him many a time on our show. He will be on an episode. He is our amateur cat expert enthusiast. I don't know what, but he's just been texting us emoji faces of a cat. He's very excited, and that's the worst part.
Whenever he gets excited about things, I start to question whether we're doing the right thing here.
We're not. You know what you did.
We've already gotten 16 picks for this month's musical listener episode, and 10 of them are for Cats.
What else is on that list so far, movie-wise?
Bedknobs and Broomsticks, Serrano, and The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
Ooh, all good picks, I think.
All very good picks.
Two of those, haven't seen.
That's fair.
And if you know me, you weirdly know the one I have.
Of course, our patrons always get double picks. Join us on Patreon this month. We've thrown out around a couple ideas. My personal leaning right now is towards Spice World, because how much fun would that be?
I threw that out to Brian as a joke, and I've never seen him light up so much.
I took that bait quick, and I was like, absolutely, let's do that. There's a bomb on the bus. That's from the movie, which I saw in theaters.
That's not good. Don't cut that, future me. Cut that.
You can also email us your picks. Like a couple of people did this week, we got emails from Cubicle Monkey, one of the best emails I've ever seen in my entire life, that had Batman references, AI-generated images of orcas escaping SeaWorld tanks and shanking dolphins.
You sent me that picture, and it's wonderful.
IMDb credits for Dave that could get him in serious trouble if they were actually put up there. Just lots of good stuff.
He made me the bang bang shooty expert on the movie Rust. And if you know what that is, that's a problem.
The bang bang shooty checker.
Have you ever been to New Mexico? I've never been to New Mexico. What a likely story.
It says here on IMDb that you're responsible. Anyway, he did send a follow-up email.
Mom and Dad said, when I grow up, they wanted me to be in New Mexico.
They wanted me to be a bang-bang shooty checker.
And I can't say for fact that Dave wasn't on the other side of that wall in New Mexico.
I did a show in Albuquerque, and I said, Ma, come watch me stick my dick in this wall.
But the weirdest part about sticking my dick in that wall in Albuquerque was that it went into some weasels.
Albuquerque reference. Wow. Okay, I wasn't ready for that. Hey, you got weasels on your face.
They weren't on my face. They were on my dick. Because I stuck my dick in a wall.
Cubicle Monkey did send a follow-up email because he knew the first one was probably a little long for the episode, with a question.
Oh!
It is a wed, bed, behead, and spread on bread.
I know what the first three are. The fourth one, I'm intrigued.
Well, basically, he sent us a fuck, marry, kill, and eat, and I had to find a way to make eat rhyme.
Fair enough. Said, all right.
Yeah. South Park, Bigger, Longer, Uncut, Orgasmo, Team America, and the Book of Mormon.
I'm marrying the Book of Mormon because it is the greatest music I've ever seen.
I'm very upset that I haven't seen it yet.
I'm fucking Orgasmo for obvious reasons.
Oh, yeah.
I'd probably kill South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut, knowing that it would go to hell and it would just come back after some Canadian blood got spilled on American soil.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair. I like that.
And then I'd eat Team America. That's the most American thing you could do. Eat.
I think that's the correct answer.
I've solved your wed, baby, head, bread puzzle.
And I also got an email this week from Phil Hawkins, who wants to know, is Hudson Hawk a musical? The obvious answer is no, but it does have multiple heists set to musical numbers, which makes it musical adjacent and very tempting to nominate.
We really should just do it for Phil at this point. It's been like 5 years.
It's been so long. His second biggest question is, how many songs does it take to make a movie a musical?
Why don't you come on the other side of this wall and start licking? 1, a 2. The world may never know.
It's not fun if you know who's on the other side of the wall. That's the whole point.
That's true. He always knows.
You're right. We should do Hudson Hawk, and we should do it very soon.
Stay tuned, Phil, for you, buddy.
So yeah, you can send us an email to beermeamoviepod@gmail.com like those gentlemen, or you can go on our social media at beermeamovie on Instagram, Facebook, send us a message on Patreon if you're on there. We get all the messages, and we add all of your movies to our list. Also on Facebook, we put up a post asking for your questions and comments on our recording day.
We've read most of them, and then Mike Lanham asked, if you had to eat one of the South Park children, which would it be and why? And Mike, obvious answer, there's a fat one.
I'm concerned, though, like, when I eat certain cuts of meat, you cut the fat off. It depends on how marbled Cartman is.
And they say the fat's there for flavor, so he's going to be a real flavorful boy.
That's true. There's also the move of just eating Kenny, because you know he'll come back the next day and you can do it again.
But I don't want to get called a bastard while I eat. That's just going to ruin my meal.
That's the only way I can eat.
You need to get hate screamed at the whole time? Hey, eat it, you sick son of a bitch.
This IKEA has whore's meat, meatballs, and also a wall.
Best Little Whorehouse in Texas? You know Dolly Parton's name in that movie?
I do not.
Leanne.
Amazing.
It's not. But that would be amazing. Oh. You're right. It would have been.
That would be. It would be.
Brian, you got anything else?
No, that's it for me.
Fantastic. Next week, my birthday pick, it's all musical month continued, The Muppet Movie. We'll see you then.